greet each of you tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Appreciated the song service tonight and our brother's enthusiasm. I believe that has a ripple effect when a leader is enthusiastic. And I took notice of him after him exalting the Lord Jesus and also our dependence on him. And I certainly appreciate the last one there about breaking the bread of life. And I think an audience can most easily follow and stay with an expository sermon, but tonight it's, I guess, more topical. And so I ask your attention and to the Word of God. I just trust that God would use His Word to speak to each of our needs, as our needs are varied as we come together. Only God and His Holy Spirit can do that. Go from bench to bench and down through the bench and meet each heart and the need of each life. Tonight, I'm thinking about the thought of crying. There's quite a few, it's several hundred, I believe, references in the Bible. The word cry, the word crying, the different forms of the word cry, crieth and cried. There are quite a few. And tonight, as Brother Paul read Psalm 34, I must tell you, I saw this. You know how certain Christians put verses out at their gate or out at their driveway along the road, and here late I saw several that said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And I just couldn't get rid of that, so I ended up going with that. And this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Also in chapter 34, verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." I would entitle the thoughts tonight, "This poor man cried," taken from verse 6 of Psalm 34. Psalm chapter 9, verse 12 says, "He forgetteth not the cry of the humble." Tonight, it's not just the righteous, but when the humble cry, the Lord hears. Psalm 55, verse 17, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." The psalmist obviously has reason to believe that the one he is praying to is hearing. When he is living right, you know, the Bible does talk about hiding iniquity and the Lord will not hear if I hide iniquity in my heart. But the psalmist over and over is talking about the righteous and the humble, and he's crying to him, the Creator, his Maker, and his God, and he knows he's going to be heard. That's comfort enough to know that we can pray to one who is omnipotent and sovereign, and to know that he is hearing us, and he shall hear my voice. I would imagine if I would ask for a hand raising tonight among the men, we've probably grown up and lived most of our lives understanding that we as men should do our best to choke back tears. Is that right or wrong, men? Whether that be right or wrong, I believe that is sort of the society that and the upbringing that we've had. It's sort of sissy, it's sort of weak to cry, to shed tears that other people can see that we're crying. Is that not the case among us men? We might think it's for babies, and we might think it's for women, this thought of crying. When babies have concerns or problems, they cry. They haven't yet learned to form words to say what they really mean, and so they let out a wail, and they cry. After all, too many times, mom or dad is clueless to the overused diaper. or the empty belly, or that the past 10 minutes have been terribly boring. And baby needs a new view or a new exercise, something new. Maybe once held by somebody else to look in another face, but the baby's crying and there's a reason. The helpless, totally dependent babies cry for help. If a baby's cries are ignored too long, the baby will die. Many times when the Bible refers to a cry or crying, or someone cried, it refers to prayer. Rather than weeping, the idea of weeping like a child or a baby, or when a child would get stung by a bee and they weep, they cry. A lot of times the Bible is not referring to that, but it's referring to prayer. Crying out, just calling out, you might say, to the God in heaven to meet our needs, to come near us, to lift us up, to comfort us. And so many times the word cry or crying or cried in the scripture, a person is asking God to help them, to come to their aid, to save them. The first reference in the Bible that I could find, and I could be wrong, but I went back to Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. And I think I want to get that quickly. The setting here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10, is that of the fact that Cain has just killed his brother Abel. He has slain him. He has murdered him. Cain is a jealous man here. He's a jealous brother. Abel has been accepted in his offering to the Lord, and Cain has not. And the Lord is speaking in verse 9 when he says to Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord continues in verse 10 and says, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." And so this first reference that I could find in the scripture is that of the voice of thy brother's blood is crying unto God from the ground where it was spilt and where it soaked into the ground. It is crying forth to a creator, the one that created that life that has been taken. And so here in Genesis 4:10, we have a crying where Cain has just killed his brother. It's a cry for justice. Number one tonight in the scripture, we find a cry for justice. I believe it's a cry for vengeance. I believe it's a cry for patience, for payment. We know what Romans 6:23 tells us. The wages of sin is death. There's a payday, there's a payment for sin, and it's death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Abel's blood. In the Hebrew, that word blood is plural. And it could well refer to the seed that would have come from Abel had he lived. His children that were cut off. His seed was cut off by this murder. And this cut off seed, this blood, I believe is crying for vengeance. It's crying for payment, for justice. Jesus answers this cry for payment, for sin, in his death on the cross. As he paid for sin there, as he bore all the sins of mine and you and all the world in his own body on the tree, Jesus answers that cry. He has satisfied the cry of sin, that it needs paid for, it needs avenged, to satisfy a holy God. Now tonight, in order for you or I to reap the benefits of Christ's death, where he met the requirements of sin, there needs to be another cry. And tonight I'm calling this one number two tonight, a cry of recognizing God's holiness. And we go to Isaiah chapter 6. I want to read the first three verses of Isaiah chapter 6. There's a cry here concerning God's holiness. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, and each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And so here in the scripture, a cry goes forth, holy, 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 referring to God Almighty. Recognizing, a cry that recognizes the holiness of God. And when this cry is put forth, when the cry of recognizing God's holiness is uttered out of your lips and or out of mine, then we say, woe is me. That is the response at that point. When we cry this cry of recognizing God's holiness, we can only say, woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I am a sinful being. Woe is me. And this, I believe, leads to the next cry. Number three tonight, a cry of confession. A cry of confession. You know, King David, he sinned some terrible sins of adultery and murder. And he says in Psalm 51, verse 4, the first part of that verse, against thee, thee only, have I sinned. He gets right to the point and he says, I. He uses that pronoun that it's hard for us to use sometimes. But he says, against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And so a cry of confession goes forth from the lips of David. I have sinned. Lord, I've been miserable. Lord, I've been trying to cover this thing up, and I can't do it anymore because I'm miserable, I'm wretched, my bones have waxed like they're old. I'm groaning within myself. Even physically, I've become a wreck because of my covered sin. Against thee and thee only, we need to recognize that sin is against a holy God. And it's against him that we sin. Even as men are often too proud to cry in public, many people are too proud to confess, I have sinned. I have sinned. The prodigal in Luke chapter 15 in his repentance said, I have sinned against heaven. And I believe it continues and says, and in thy sight. The prodigal truly repented. He came to his senses, as the Bible says in Luke 15, and he said, I, not somebody else. He didn't pass the blame. Like Adam said, his wife offered the fruit, and that blame's been being passed down ever since. And wrong counselors will teach you that it's somebody else's fault, and it's not true. The prodigal came to himself, he came to his senses, and he said, I have sinned. As we cry in confession, we realize the need for the next cry. Number four tonight, a cry for mercy. David cried, and again it was in Psalm 51, have mercy, as he starts that psalm, have mercy upon me. I am the one in need of mercy. I'll be destroyed if I don't get mercy. David is saying, I have sinned, and if you deal with me according to my sins, I'm finished. David is saying, when he says, have mercy upon me, please, Lord, don't deal with me according to my sins. Don't punish me for my sins. I need mercy. What I need is forgiveness. And so a cry for mercy goes forth from King David as well. a cry of confession and a cry of mercy, for mercy. Forgive me, Lord. In our text that we've chosen tonight, Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, King David is also, the psalmist David is also penning these words, I believe. David shares testimony and praise in this Psalm 34. As one who has narrowly escaped death and has been redeemed and can rejoice in that redemption that has been offered to him. David's pleas have been answered repeatedly in his life of mercy from the Lord, of the Lord's protection, and of not dealing with him according to his sins. And so here David is testifying and he is praising God as one whom the Lord has protected. And so he says, this poor man cried. He cried for mercy. He cried for God to wrap his arms about him. Now the man cried, and we see that this was his action. This was the step he needed to take. And then we see the Lord heard him. The second part of the verse. The Lord heard him. When we give up fighting our own battles on our own strength with our own techniques, and we realize that we're just going to be defeated time after time after time, and we finally say, Lord, I need you and I need your strength and I need you to fight for me. He will hear and he will act on your behalf. Psalm 119, verse 145, I cried with my whole heart. I want us to get that tonight. The psalmist there in 119 says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Do we cry simply to get out of our trouble? Is that why we cry unto the Lord? Because we've done it ourselves. We've made our own bed, so to speak. We're troubled. We're in trouble. There's trouble all around us because of decisions we've made, because of wrong choices we've made, and we've chosen to sin. And now we're crying to the Lord, Lord, get me out of this trouble. And we want to be just like this psalmist who cried, this poor man cried, the Lord heard him and the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. We're hoping it's that easy in our case. It's not always going to work that way. And there is always the eternal law of reaping and sowing. And above that, the Lord knows our heart. He knows if we just want an easy fix, and if the Lord could do that. But the Lord also knows that if it's too easy of a fix, we might think, well, that was no problem. I can get myself in another jam, and the Lord will get me out of the next jam. The Lord is wiser than that. And sometimes, I guess, we think the Lord's not answering, and why, Lord, oh, why, Lord? I know you have the power, but the Lord also has all wisdom and knows what's best for us. Are we simply crying out to the Lord to get out of trouble? Or are we turning to the Lord with all our heart? And are we turning with the determination to obey the statutes, as it says here, as it says in Psalm 119, 145? O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. And so the Lord knows if it's with all our heart that we have turned in this cry of desperation. And the Lord also knows if we have turned with all our heart determined to obey him. And I believe the Lord will act accordingly. And whatever is for our best. He who knows the end from the beginning. Our text goes on there, the first two parts, this poor man cried, and the second part, the Lord heard him, and thirdly, this saved him out of all his troubles. You know, sin is a huge troubler, even to the Christian. Far more than it should be. Far more than it should be. And I want to preach sometime, Lord willing, on dealing with our besetting sin that we struggle with way longer than we should. And it holds far too many Christians from their potential. Sin is a huge troubler. Psalm 88, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. How serious are we in our cry for mercy? The psalmist, he could remind the Lord that, Lord, I've been crying day and night. The Lord knows how long we've been crying. The Lord knows how serious we are about our cries to him. Day and night, that's a challenge to me as I read that in the scripture. I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. In the New Testament, in Mark, I want to read there about Bartimaeus a little bit. Blind Bartimaeus and his cry, and how sincere he was and persistent. Are we persistent in our prayers, in our cries to the Lord? Mark chapter 10, 46 to 48, hear about blind Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And I might have stopped right there when the next thing happened. Verse 48 says that many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many around him basically said, you shut up. You're bothering the master. He's busy, can't you see? Do you think he has time for you, a poor begging blind man? How did Bartimaeus handle that? That verse continues and says, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. How quick are we to say, well, God isn't listening? Or obviously it's not God's will to hear me the way I want him to hear me. You know, we need to be careful that we don't ask amiss. That we have that scripture and it's all in a balance. But I'm challenging us tonight and myself that we beseech the Lord day and night as the psalmist with all our heart, determined to obey the Lord and be persistent, even though others around us would quit praying or others around us would say, there's no hope. I can't believe you're still praying for that. Continue to pray. And it might be for your own soul. It might be for your own victory. We don't have victory over sin sometimes because we think fasting and prayer is old-fashioned. And yet there we're missing the real power of victory in Christ in obeying the scripture and praying and fasting. Blind Bartimaeus, he knew something about Jesus. And he obviously had a belief in Jesus. He had some faith here. And he got excited when he realized it was Jesus passing by. Are we going to allow Jesus to pass by the most critical point in our life and not cry with all our heart and be persistent? That, Lord, we need your mercy. In Matthew chapter 14, Peter walked on water. Great faith. His master had just walked on water. And Peter, he felt so close to his master, I guess he figured whatever he does, I'm going to do. And he did it. But then as he looked about him and took his eyes off Jesus and he saw the waves and the deep sea around him, he got fearful. And there's one of the reasons we don't have victory over sin, because of fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. And that's another key, hopefully, in the future about the besetting sin. Getting over this fear. Fear is an enemy. And Peter had fear, and he sank. He was beginning to sink. And what did Peter do? He cried, "Lord, save me! Save me from this watery grave. I can't walk on water like you, Lord. I'm sinking." And you know what happened? The Lord reached out and took hold of Peter. Praise the Lord, he saved Peter. And he can save you and I. Are you sinking in sin? Are you in anguish? Are you drowning? Are you in danger of going under and never coming up? Are you in danger of drowning in sin? If with all your heart, you had better cry for mercy. We could be speaking tonight to Christians. We could be speaking to those who have never yielded their heart to Christ. A sincere, whole heartfelt cry of mercy needs to go forth. Be merciful unto me, O God, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Psalm 86, verse 3. Another cry tonight would be a cry of intercession. It's been pretty self-centered so far, and it needs to be when we're drowning in the depths of sin, when we're unsaved, or when we're struggling with a besetting sin that's threatening to overcome us. We can be a bit self-centered when we cry for mercy. But have we cried that cry of intercession? Does it really grip us? Does it really bother us that there are others who are struggling? Have we ever considered even 1 hour, have I, of crying in intercession for the soul of another person? It could be someone here at Pleasant Hill. It could be someone that's never received Jesus. It could be for someone across the waters. But how do we measure up there with a cry of intercession? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. 1 Samuel 15, 10 and 11. Saul has sinned. Saul has been a disappointment to his God. And in verse 10, the word of the Lord said, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments." And look at the next line. "And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord," how long? All night. Not 1 hour. Consider 3 hours. Not 3 hours. Consider 6 hours. Not 6 hours. All night. This man of God cried forth with a cry of intercession, I believe. I don't know what all was in that cry, but I believe part of it was a cry of intercession. I believe his heart just wept, and he cried out for this man Saul, this king, who had not obeyed the Lord, and the Lord had now rejected Saul. And this just broke Samuel's heart. How does it affect my heart? How does it affect your heart when one of God's sheep, when one of God's lambs is no longer walking alongside of him, is no longer vibrant and healthy and rejoicing in the Lord? How does that affect you or I? A cry of intercession tonight. Related to that, maybe not exactly, but when Lazarus died, and Jesus saw Mary, and I'm sure Martha as well, specifically mentions Mary there, that she was crying, and it mentions the Jews with her. They were crying, and Jesus noticed these tears. He noticed this weeping, this sorrow. And what does the Bible say? Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He cried with them. And I believe he was praying for them, that his heavenly Father would strengthen them through this time. And most of all, that they would believe that he indeed was the Son, God come in the flesh. Do we cry to the Lord on the behalf of others? That's my challenge tonight, and I believe the Lord wants it to be yours. Do we cry on the behalf of others? Another cry tonight, number six tonight, a cry too late. A cry too late. Micah chapter 3, verse 4. And this concerns Israel's leaders who have sinned. They have sinned, and then the scripture says this: then shall they cry unto the Lord. These leaders who have sinned, then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. Terrible words to have to hear. Very sad words. He will even hide his face from them at that time. A cry too late tonight, my people. In Luke chapter 16, you know this parable. It's not a parable. I mistakenly said that. It's a true account. Luke 16, concerning the rich man and Lazarus. In verses 24 to 26, speaking here of a cry too late. And he cried, the rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, rich man, it's too late. Your day for crying for mercy is over. You can't even get a cold tongue anymore from a drop of water on someone's finger. My people, tonight, a day is coming when it is too late to cry for mercy. Too late. A cry too late. Oh, that bitter wail of desperation when all hope is gone and there's no answer to that cry. A cry too late is an eternal cry. Eternal. Matthew chapter 13, some of the parables here that Jesus is teaching. Here we have the one of the parable of the net, where the fish are all brought in, and there are the good and the bad, and they're separated. And then we have verses 49 and 50, Matthew 13, 49 and 50. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, an eternal cry with no hope. A cry that is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Right now is a moment that you or I and all the world around us can cry for mercy. I don't know about tomorrow for you or for me. Now let's go back to that crying baby that needs a clean diaper. In all humility, a baby cries and in essence is saying, I have made a real mess. I need you to clean me up. All too often, adults are too proud to cry. God, I've made a mess of my life, and I need you.